But that I did it in fear and thought it was faith. Did I mean to do it in fear thinking it was faith? No. How many know a lot of us have done this because we don't understand these things? We hear teaching, we grab them, but we don't have the relationship with God to back what we're learning. I was so broken because I thought, Lord, I did all that in my heart was so that he'd live and love you and know what you did for him. And because the fear was on it, it actually caused him to be afraid of your word, Lord, and thinks he can't trust himself to use your word correctly. In other words, he blamed himself that he wasn't being spiritual enough. And I talked to him, and I prayed for him since then. And God's really doing some cool things in his life, even right now. But it was never my intention, okay? This isn't about intention. Sometimes people have really rotten intentions. That's fine. You need to take those to the cross too. God paid for those too, but God also paid for the things that we just do wrong because of what Satan's done to us that has nothing, that where the intentions are good. Sometimes they're the ones that make us so broken. Okay, but my son didn't lose hope that he was going to live because he said God told him he was going to live, and he never thought he was going to die. And he was so close to death, it's not even funny. At least three times. They didn't know if he'd live through the night. And yet, God kept him in peace, and he had faith, and a lot of that was things that his dad and I did right. But in this area, he was so disappointed in himself. I had no idea I was putting such pressure on him. People who've had a religious spirit and try to make their kids real spiritual, you do this to your kids, not meaning to. You make them think they've got to do this, they've got to do this. You totally don't even understand it's about relationship. God's not expecting a little kid to walk in a place of faith that most adults don't walk in. He's not going to punish them and let them die because they don't get to a certain level of speaking the word. But at the same time, God turns what's meant for evil to good. My kid knows the word pretty well. When he does go to preach, he can really preach. And so God is just teaching all of us to repent of these things so he can go in and fix it. We got to see it so he can fix it. We got to see it. If the fruit in the life of your loved ones isn't what it should be, and you think you did the spiritual things, you need to face. You need to let God help you by hurting you to see what you really did. Because as soon as you see that and you break in that area and you repent in that area, God turns it all around. He can't turn around what you won't bring him into through repentance, okay? To defer, to bring down, to yield to, okay, listen to this one. To defer is to yield to others' opinions, to submit to others' opinions, to refer and leave to another's judgment, all right? Hope deferred causes you to be a man pleaser. If you feel like you've disappointed others and you feel like you are a disappointment, then you're going to look for ways to prove, you're going to look for ways to not disappoint people. You need the teaching tape. We'll give this away tonight in the offering, the fear of no. So many people are afraid to say no. They think if you say no, the whole world's going to fall apart. There's a fear of no. There's a fear of hearing no and a fear of saying no. We need to get free from that. This is part of that, because if you've lost hope, then you're going to submit to other people's opinions. If you feel like you're a failure, if you feel like you're hopeless, if you feel like you're constantly disappointed, if you're constantly disappointed, if you're disappointed in God, first of all, you're never really disappointed in God. You actually don't understand spiritual warfare. Therefore, you think you're disappointed in God when truthfully, Satan has set you up to be disappointed in God. And if you would learn who God is and walk in God's ways and be obedient to the voice of God, you would never be disappointed by God. God can't disappoint. Okay? But think about it. If Satan's been able to attack your hope, he's caused you to be a man pleaser. He's caused you to constantly care what other people think about you. He causes you to constantly try to figure out how to make everybody happy, and you live in that bondage. Also, listening to another's judgment opens up the door for Satan to condemn you. It opens up the door for you to hear what Satan says about you, his opinion about you. People who speak with a critical spirit, people who speak with a judgmental spirit and pour into your life, it causes you to receive from them as if that was truth. Okay? So you can understand if you were the devil and you wanted to mess up a bunch of people, let's just get them disappointed. How hard is that? How hard is it for him to make you get disappointed? Cause a flat tire. Oops, can't go to the, you know, candy store, whatever you were promised. You know, cause a marriage to go bad. Cause children to do wrong things. It is so easy for Satan to get in there and cause us to be disappointed. And we need to break the power of these lies because of it. Okay, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. So, God is a God of hope. Our God is a God of eager expectations. God expects us to be victorious. God expects me to get to the very revelations that I need to get completely healed in my leg. He expects me to do something awesome with the gifts he's given me. He expects me to grab onto him in such a way that even things meant for evil turn to good. I have a God full of hope. God still believes his word. Isn't he awesome? He still has hope for every human being. That's why he says, judge nothing before it's time. He still has hope for you. He still sees you through the eyes of faith. So our God is a God of hope. And he wants to fill us with joy and peace. How? Joy and peace comes when you get hope in the God of hope and you trust him. See, when the enemy steals your hope in God, what is he really stealing? Your trust in God. And trust in God is what faith is. So Satan is determined to cause you not to trust God. That is his bottom line desire in your life, that you don't trust God. If you were able to trust God, then you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you overflowing with hope. He wants you to just radiate. See, in America, we've got a term that says, well, I hope so. Okay, that's wrong. That's the wrong usage of a word. That is Satan giving you a usage that already says defeat. Do you know what I mean? Well, I hope they show up. I hope they do this. That is the wrong use of the word. You need to repent for using that in that way. You need to repent for speaking that into your children's lives. Because what you're saying there is you're taking hope and making it a negative thing. Okay? Hope is not a negative thing. Hope is a very powerful revelation of the very nature of God that's supposed to flow through us as we know God so that we can believe. I've got a God full of hope. I have a God who knows how great he is. I have a God who knows that he created us in a way to want him. He's created us in a way to worship him. He has earnest expectation that his bride is going to come forth without spot or blink. Spot or blemish. He has earnest expectation, Marion, that you're going to get completely free from every single thing Satan's ever done in your life. I mean, he has earnest expectation that you're going to have a breakthrough in a powerful way. How could you not? You watch God heal your husband of AIDS. You've watched God bring your daughter to Christ. You've watched God taking your son off all of his medications. And you're even watching God soften the heart of your other daughter. How can you have but anything but hope? And tonight, after we get free from this, hope's going to be easier. Because if you got the spirit of disappointment deep down, that sucker comes up every second and says, not for you, not for you, not for you. It's for everybody else. It's not for you. Oh, God loves everybody else. He doesn't love you. God's going to deliver everybody else, but not you. Remember, you're always disappointed. It never works for you. Tell him to shut up. What I want to cast out tonight is that demon of disappointment. Disappointment is an expectation that it's not going to work. And if you have that spirit in you, not everybody has this, okay? Maybe most of you guys might, but just because of the people God brings here, so beat down many times. But you got to realize, if something comes up automatically and says it's not going to work for you, if something comes and constantly tries to steal your walk with God, steal the victories in your life, you got this thing. If there's something that makes it hard to believe, and you know it's because, and you know, one of the other things that's ridiculous, people have said, well, I'm afraid to be disappointed, so I'm not going to try. Well, don't you know you're already getting the results of failure? If you're afraid to be disappointed and you're not going to try, what's it going to hurt to try? It's like you're saying, forget it. I'm going to lose. I'm going to pick to lose. I don't understand that. Why pick to lose? Why not at least fight? And then if you lose, you lose. Then let God handle it. But Satan wants you to just automatically be a loser. He wants you to automatically. Why? Because he knows if you learn to fight, he's in trouble. He knows if you learn to fight the good fight of faith, which has to have hope, he's lost. There's one thing about fighting the devil, folks. He's lost already. And the only way he wins, if he can convince you that he hasn't lost, and you're going to lose. If Satan can convince you, you're going to lose. Now, let me set this up, okay? Get this. This is truth. The Bible's truth. The Word of God is truth. I've watched it work in my life over and over. Even if it didn't work in my life, it's still truth, but it has worked in my life. All right. God wins. We win. We've already won. This fight is unfair because God's already won. You're in a fight that you've already won if you can just believe it. Satan's only hope for you not kicking his butt and destroying him is if he can convince you that you can't win. But if you get the revelation you've already won, he's already lost. I'm really glad I'm not really fighting the devil and he could possibly win. The only way he wins is if you don't fight the fight. The only way he wins is if you don't believe the Word of God. You just only have to do, all you have to do is sell out to God and listen to God and you win. And I don't care where you are in your trial. I don't care what your promise is. If God gives you a promise, then you can have it. If you just learn to believe God and trust him and not the devil. It really is that simple. Because it's a finished work. Do you see how much different that is than you really fighting to see who's going to win? Well, see who's going to win. You would never win against the devil if it wasn't already won. You're not fighting the devil. You're fighting you. You're fighting you. You're fighting your thoughts that have been placed in there by the devil. You're fighting your doubt and your unbelief that's been done because of circumstance. You are fighting your past. You're fighting your past. You're not fighting the devil. He's lost. But as long as he can keep you fighting your past, you let him win. You've made him the winner by not believing God. So, in all of your getting free, get more of God. See God. See how big God is. You have to see how big God is. And then your problem becomes very small. He's not asking you to do something that's not already finished. How many know it can feel like such a heavy burden if you feel like you have to fight it? You have to do everything right. That's religious bondage. You don't even have to do everything right. He already knows you're not going to. You just have to get up. You just have to not care. You just have to see he has won. He has won. God's already beat you, devil. God has already beat you. You can't have my son. God's already beat you. You can't have my husband. God's already beat you. You can't have this. You can't have that. Unless they blatantly, of their free will, choose the enemy. And even then, you keep believing and God will snatch him from the flames. He says so. I mean, some people are so hurt and demonized and messed up that they've got to have a deathbed situation where you can show up in their face and say, you know, accept Christ. And then you still know there's a victory. Laurie had this with her father. If there was anybody who you would not expect to get saved, Laurie's dad would have qualified. He was mean. He was critical. He was an atheist. He was a Jewish atheist. He was raised in some very hurtful situations. He had a lot of pain in his life. He was very mocking and controlling and blasphemous. And the devil in him would literally come out and just mock Laurie. And then he's in a situation and he's hospitalized and he gets saved. He even gets healed for a short time and then he dies. The bottom line is, he won. He's in heaven. If he had continued to live, who knows that he wouldn't have returned? Who knows that he wouldn't have dealt with all these deep, deep-rooted hurts and things? See, God is bigger than us. Truthfully, how many know if it takes someone dying to get them to heaven, I'd rather them die than live here another however 50 or 60 years and go to hell? How many know that? How many know the faithfulness of God we're not going to be able to totally understand till we get there? How many know we see things so we see things through such a glass. The Bible says we don't see things clearly. So quit second-guessing God. Quit thinking you're smarter than God. And quit being disappointed when maybe God actually answered your prayer, but you're too narrow in your thinking to understand that. Do you know what I'm saying? God's not going to come against their free will, but he will do every single thing he can to set them free from what the devil's done so that they can make a true choice. And I don't know about everyone, but I would guess most people, at least people we're praying for, would choose God if the devil's influence was out of the picture. And warfare will get the devil's influence out of the picture. Okay. Okay, so she's saying hope doesn't have to be logical. Hope can be based on a desire you have. God gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, she's saying don't get your brain involved in reasoning to try to decide if it's something worth hoping for. Which I understand. In other words, if the doctors say there's no hope, then if you put your brain in there, you're not going to get hope through reasoning. Do you get that? Now hope has to come through what the Word of God says. Hope has to come through what you've seen God do. Hope has to come through other people's testimonies. Hope has to come through believing God over what the doctors say. So she's saying logic doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what you're hoping for. All right. Defeat is to overthrow the loss of the battle, frustrate by rendering null or void. See, Satan wants to do that with you. He wants to defeat you by rendering void the promises God's given you. When God gives you a promise, hang on to it. Okay? Does everybody get it? Does everybody get it? Now, this is one of those altar calls where if it's a really big deal in your life, you might have to do a little struggling this week and deal with it, bind up anything that's released in you that's bugging you, and really let God show you that hurt you that's been disappointed and bring Christ into it, okay? Bring Christ into it. I promise you this, if you would allow the Holy Spirit to mature you to where you can understand the things of God and the ways of God, you will be amazed that you will discover without question that God was faithful and you weren't. You'll be, immaturity says, I was faithful and God disappointed me. That's really immature because you don't understand God. When you really understand God, you will have a total revelation of the unbelievable faithfulness of God. Okay? You'll just be amazed. It'll be beyond anything you could ever ask or think. Okay? To see God so real. Who are the people who got free from this the other day? You guys come up. If you want prayer for this, if you want to be set free, or at least have the Lord begin to deal in this area. Also, I'm believing God's going to minister to some of you tonight about hidden areas he wants to deal with that you don't know about. So, now this could be a really cry little thing or whatever. Just have hope. Come up with hope that this thing is going to be, that you're going to be delivered from this thing, okay? Come up with hope that God's at least starting, minimum, God is starting something major to set you free. Maximum, you have hope that this is it. That God does not, God is not like a human being that can disappoint you, okay? God will never disappoint you and let you down. Satan will come in and do some stuff and play with you. But if you will begin to hear the voice of God and listen to God and walk with God, it doesn't matter that you don't understand it right away. Just do what he shows you and trust him. Do what he shows you, then trust him. And it may take a little bit of time. Okay? I'm watching this work in my own life on a regular, daily basis. Okay? Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we want the spirit of disappointment. Whew. I just see like a little demon whose job is just to constantly tell you your disappointment and constantly tell you it's not going to work for you and constantly remind you of disappointments in your past and times you've been disappointed with God. I want everybody to say, Lord Jesus, I know now you have never disappointed me, but Satan has stolen from me even the promises you had for me, even the things you spoke to me. And he used all this junk to steal from me, to cause me not to hope in you. Lord, I know you have done miracles. I know you died for me. I know you love me. I do believe all of that. And hope belongs to me. Hope belongs to me. I'm going to get deeper and deeper in my relationship with you. And the earnest expectations that you are faithful, that you are not a liar, that you are good, that you love me, that your promises are true. I'm going to grow in trusting you and having earnest expectations for those things that you've promised me. I am not an exception. I am not a failure. I am not a disappointment to you. You're never disappointed because you already know the outcome. You already see what Satan has orchestrated. You're never disappointed, but you're always calling me to the way of escape. You're not watching me to judge me. Instead, you're leading me out of the lies of the enemy. I want you to see that picture. I want you to see that God is not watching you, waiting to see you mess up so that he can say, oh, I knew it. God is not like that. That is the devil. God is standing right there saying, come on, come on. Grab my hand. Come on, listen to this truth. Come on, go to this meeting. Here, listen to this tape. I've got a way of escape. Oh, come on, you're going to get this. Oh, Lord, that they would take authority. Oh, he is Lord. Oh, that they would take authority. Oh, that they would release the angels. Oh, that the breaker angels. Father, right now, I release breaker angels with each of these people to break them through this faster than they ever would break through on their own. Father, we thank you for breaker angels. We thank you, Lord, that you brought them back to this place sometime last year, and that things have been changing. So, Father, release the breaker angels all about this place right now and give everyone earnest expectation that even what they have not been able to break through on their own, whoa, these angels are going to take and break through for them. Whoa, and destroy the enemy and bind up the enemy and cause hope to rise up. Father, that there would be hope and they would be not afraid to hope and they would not give up hope, but God, they would just completely grow in hope and grow in faith, and hope would just begin to flow out of them because you are the God of hope. You are the God of hope, and those who hope purify themselves. Everyone here, Lord God, for the most part, if not completely, I don't know everybody, but are here to be purified. Therefore, they have to believe in a God of hope according to your word, or they wouldn't be here. So there, devil, you have no authority. So, Father, we ask you to do a mighty work now of breaking them through. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen and amen.